Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. Now, here's a set of readings that you got this morning. A set of readings just begging to be explained. Okay, so that's all I'm going to try to do for you here this morning. If I can help you understand these readings just a little bit better, we'll call it a success. All right? So I'm going to start you off with a little image. An image that I found helpful. It's an image of how a lobster grows. How a lobster grows. Now, a lobster is a soft, mushy animal that lives its life in a rigid, hard shell. A shell that does not expand. So as a lobster grows, the shell becomes restrictive, confining, uncomfortable. So the lobster swims away, goes underneath the safe protection of a rock to protect itself from all of its predators, sheds off its old shell, makes a whole new shell, swims out again, resuming its little lobster life. Continues to grow, until that new shell itself becomes restrictive and uncomfortable. And then it's back underneath the rock again. The process repeats itself again and again and again, but notice, the stimulus for the lobster to grow is that it feels uncomfortable. There's a lesson in that. If it never felt uncomfortable, it would never grow. Discomfort, struggle, is nature's way of making you stronger. You can learn a lot about God by taking a look at the natural world. After all, God is the author of the natural world. Sometimes nature is called the fifth gospel for that reason. Times of struggle, times of difficulty, times of suffering come to everybody. Nobody's exempt. An animal will grow by instinct, but not you. Not you. You must grow by choice. Now, the reason why I mention all this is that the theme of growth through struggle, something that flows through all of our readings that we heard here today, gospel reading, Jesus sends out the 12 apostles for the very first time to preach and teach in his name, and what strange marching orders he gives them. You go out, you can take nothing with you but a walking stick and sandals. In other words, only what you need for right now. Anything you're going to need for the future, don't bring it with you. Don't bring any money. Don't bring a bag. Don't bring anything to eat. Can you imagine going out on a trip like that? Imagine that. You're going to go to the airport. You're not going to bring a wallet. You're not going to bring any ID. You're not going to bring any luggage. How far would you get? Not very far. And if Jesus intended for those marching orders to apply to all of us in the church down through the ages, boy, have we ever dropped the ball, right? Boy, have we ever dropped the ball. It's an awful good thing Jesus did not intend these marching orders for all of the church down through the ages. This is a training exercise for the apostles. And the way we know that is that later on in the scriptures, especially Acts of the Apostles, letters of Paul, they do bring these things along with them. This is a training exercise for the apostles. Why? So that they will learn how to grow through struggle. That they will learn that they don't need anything like near as much stuff as they think they need. That God will provide for them far more than they're aware. And they will do just fine, trusting in God to provide for their future so long as they make provisions to provide for their present. It'll teach them lessons they will never forget. And do you know the church still carries out exercises just like this one you heard in the gospel? It happens in religious orders all the time. I had a friend who was in a religious community, and he told me that when he was just getting started, they gave him this training exercise where they sent him out two by twos, and from their mother house in Connecticut, they gave him a $20 bill and said, your job is to get to the mother house in Los Angeles by a certain date. Now go. Nothing but the clothes on their backs and a $20 bill. They all made it, all safely, all on time, every single time. And boy, did they have stories to tell of the adventures they lived and the people they met and the people that helped them and the odd jobs they had to take on to earn an extra buck. Lessons they would never forget. Lessons that can only be learned by struggle. First reading has a similar message as well. First reading from the book of the prophet Amos. That's a mysterious reading. And who the heck is a prophet Amos anyway? Well, Amos was one of what they call the 12 minor prophets. There's 12 guys in the Bible, they're called minor prophets. And it's not because they're any less important than the other prophets. It's just their books were shorter. Shorter than the big guys. Shorter than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. So Amos is one of the minor prophets. He lives about 750 BC, give or take, in the south of Judah, and he's got a real comfortable life. He's wealthy, he's a landowner, couldn't be happier until one day God says to Amos, I want you to get up, go to the north, you're going to be my prophet against the people of Israel. Because they are exploiting the poor, and there's nothing that grinds God's gears more than when privileged elites take advantage of ordinary people for their own profit. And Amos says, gosh, I don't want to go. Gosh, I'm really comfortable down here. And God says, get up out of your Barca lounger, put down your Chardonnay and go, right? You're my prophet. So away Amos goes to the north, preaching repentance and divine judgment. And they're none too pleased. That's why your first reading picks up right there. They say, Amos, get out of here. Go back where you came from. Amos says, go back where I came from. It was never my plan to be here in the first place. I didn't want to be a prophet to any of you people, you ingrates, right? So back he goes, but his struggle led thousands of people to God. Certain things in life we can only achieve by struggle. Now, here's the hitch. Just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're getting any closer to God. I bet you can name dozens of people who you know who are suffering and dying on a cross of their own making. God had nothing to do with it. We're our own worst enemies, aren't we, right? Yes. Funny thing about being your own worst enemies. There are so many people out there, they're struggling and dying on a cross of their own making, and they fancy themselves little martyrs as they do so. Right? Very often our struggles aren't leading us any closer to God. And how many people are there, tyrants and scallywags down through history, that wax eloquent about all they learned from their struggles? Just because you're struggling doesn't bring you any closer to God. So I want to try to help you. To help you to know, you know, if your struggles are fruitful or not fruitful. Okay? So here we go. Three things that can help you to know. It's been said that in the human heart, there's three basic fears. The fear of having nothing, the fear of having nobody, and the fear of being nobody. In other words, we're all afraid of being destitute, being alone, and being powerless. Three basic fears. Now, if there's three basic fears in the human heart, you can be absolutely certain that Christ our Lord has something to say about it, and he does. It's from those three basic fears that we get what are known as the three evangelical counsels: poverty, chastity, and obedience. They're called evangelical counsels. Evangelical because they come from the gospel. Counsels because Jesus Christ himself counsels us to these things time and time again, because left to our own devices, you know what we're going to do with our three basic fears? We're going to try to cover them up with all the money we can possibly get, all the power we can possibly get to control our environment, and to try to be as popular as we possibly can with the crowd, because there's nothing safer than being a member of the great big mob, right? And in those three things, Jesus says, stop it, trust me. Trust me, poverty, chastity, obedience. Here's the trouble. People hear those three words, they think that's just for monks and nuns. Well, the vows of poverty and chastity and obedience, those might be for monks and nuns, but not the lived experience. of poverty and chastity and obedience. That's for anybody who wants to get to heaven. And if your struggles are in those three areas, they're helping you grow. Because what is chastity but respect for yourself? Respect for another person made in God's image? And self-control that helps you to understand the truth and meaning of human sexuality. This is a big struggle for people. Big, big struggle. The good news is, if you're struggling, and not just caving in every time one of these little whims comes along, if you're struggling to be faithful to what our Lord asked of us, and does have a very high bar, you can be certain that struggle is leading you closer to God. You're getting holier. You're growing. And what is obedience but respect for human authority that speaks in God's name, legitimate human authority? And boy, is that hard to obey. I mean, anybody could obey if Jesus Christ himself would just give us a nice, you know, vision or apparition in the middle of the day and give us instructions. That'd be easy to obey. But when you have to listen to somebody in the church who acts with legitimate authority, or somebody in the government, boy, that's hard. Because you don't want to obey. Or when you have to be faithful to your state in life because of commitments that you've made or vows that you've taken. Or you'd like to just throw it all away and jet off to Vegas, right? It'd be a lot easier. If you struggle to fulfill the commitments that are under that understanding of obedience to legitimate human authority, your struggle is drawing you closer to God. And poverty. I'll tell you my favorite definition of poverty. Poverty is not a lack of cash. Poverty is a lack of options. Certainly often happens when you're out of money, but the poor suffer what they must because they don't have any other choice. Now that experience of suffering, because you've got no other option, that comes to all of us in our lives. All of us experience the pinch of poverty. Could be something as simple and as trivial as rotten weather or bad traffic, or it could be something as weighty and as difficult as the burden of old age, or illness, or a death in the family. Anytime you find yourself struggling under the pain of something you cannot control, and yet you say to God, Lord, your will be done, I guarantee you, that struggle is drawing you closer to our Lord. That struggle is helping you grow. Because God calls us by paths not of our own choosing. Often there's a loss. Always there's a cross. And you know, just like you have to break open hard ground with a plow, before you can make it bear any fruit, so similarly, God has to break open hard hearts. Sometimes he has to break them open before we can bear any fruit. It reminds me of something I once heard. It was called the Creed of the Disabled. It goes something like this. I ask God for strength, that I might achieve mighty deeds. And instead he gave me weakness, that he might achieve great things through me. I ask God for wealth, so that I might have happiness. Instead he gave me poverty, so that I might learn wisdom. I ask God for all things, so that I might enjoy life. But God gave me life, so that I might enjoy all things. The unspoken prayers of my heart have indeed all been answered, and I among all men am truly blessed. Creed of the Disabled. God draws us, brothers and sisters, by paths not of our own choosing. And this is just a tiny little word of encouragement for all of us today who are struggling. If you're struggling to say yes to the Lord, take heart and know that that struggle is a very, very good sign that you are on the right path. As we pray to persevere, and if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.